The Veterans Affairs Department finally fired Terry Garrick Wolf last week. The former director of the Pittsburgh VA Medical Center had been on paid leave since June, following a review of a Legionnaires' disease outbreak that claimed the lives of six patients there. Wolf is the fourth senior executive to be removed under the Veterans Access to Care Act through, well, it's called the Veterans Access to Care Through Choice, Accountability, and Transparency Act of 2014. Is all this a good thing? John Palguda is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. He joins me now to talk about what it means for the future of due process protections for federal employees. John, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So as was clamored for, I guess, by Congress and some of the veterans groups and so on, a few heads have rolled at VA. Is it the right way that this is happening, in your opinion?
Well, this is a very interesting situation, Tom. This is a very emotional response, I think, that we're seeing to the highly publicized misdeeds of a small number of senior executives at VA. And, I don't know that we're on the right road here. But there's also the question of, should we stay on the old road? So not only do we have, in the case of VA, we have the abbreviated appeal rights for senior executives. So they have 7 days to appeal, and they can go to the Merit Systems Protection Board, and the board has 21 days. But for some folks, they're saying, well, that's still too long. It's too complicated a process because VA still has to, develop a reasonable case to present to MSPB. So there's actually, in the fiscal year 2015 Military Construction, Veterans Affairs, and Related Agencies Appropriations Bill, there's yet another provision that would make it a employment at will situation for VA executives. The secretary could remove any individual basically in the discretion of the secretary, secretary's judgment, and there's no appeal rights at all.
And John, I mean, I guess it's part of the difficulty with this whole issue is that as senior executive service members is kind of a unique Netherland position in American managerial life, because they are federal employees, SESers, and they have civil service protections because they're under the civil service system. Basically, they're in the GS system, but they just have a rating that's above the standard scale. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, they are at many times, like, for example, Ms. Wolf, who was running a multi-billion dollar medical center. They are operating at a level that in the private sector, you would be an employee at will. And you're at the point where the protections fall away when you are responsible for something that big. So maybe that's where the problem is coming in visualizing what's the best way to handle all of this.
Well, no question, Tom, the optics on this are terrible. You have high-level employees, engaged in what appears to be clear wrongdoing, and yet it's taking a huge amount of time, or in some cases, the employee, gets to retire before action is taken. There's actually a proposal being discussed that would reduce a retired executive's annuity if they're found guilty of some wrongdoing. But the optics are terrible. From the public's perspective, it's absolutely, these are folks that were entrusted with the care of veterans, and they neglected their responsibilities. In fact, they did things that were harmful, and yet they're not being punished at least sufficiently from a public perception. The problem is, and you gave the example, Tom, of a in the private sector, they'd be out the door. But it's government, and in government, because it's there's partisan politics at play, due process has become a core principle, because we want to make sure, yes, we need to be able to fire federal employees who aren't doing their job or who engaged in misconduct. But we want to make sure they're fired for the right reasons, and because there's a public good to be obtained by making sure that this for the right reasons, that they're not being fired, for example, because they blew the whistle on wrongdoing.
Well, in this case, Terry Wolf, I mean, what happened was, yes, there was the Legionnaires outbreak, And, you know, in a hospital setting, I guess there was investigations would be done, and were the procedures there, was the oversight there to prevent that kind of thing from spreading? That's kind of a competence issue. But I think there were also allegations that she interfered in the congressional look-see at the VA, trying to influence Congress, members of Congress, to say, man, this is not really such a big deal, which all it did is get their interest up even more. And that led to the waiting time brouhaha that took so much public attention and hearings and so forth. And so she stepped into the political quagmire a little bit from the perch of an SESer. And that's another situation that kind of is odd and unique to government.
It is. And I think what we have here, and if you believe in the value of what government does, and certainly I do, and I think, you know, most of the listeners to Federal News Radio do, you want people to be held, federal employees to be held accountable for doing the right thing, and we get outraged when they don't. So it's not a question of, you know, not holding people accountable. We want that. It's a question of how do we do it and what's reasonable. I mean, people, and I get upset too when I hear that somebody's been on paid administrative leave for a year or so. Now, that doesn't happen very often, but it happens on occasion. And it's like, that's ridiculous. They've done something that was unwarranted. It should not take a year and at full pay for them to sort this out. So I think the question here, Tom, is not, you know, should there be due process or should there be no due process? You know, that's a binary, you know, equation. I think it's something that we need to look at in terms of, okay, if we don't want to go to employment at will for good public policy reasons, do we keep the status quo, which is resulting in some situations that the public finds absurd, or do we look to see if there's a need for some change in how due process is provided? There's been a long evolution in due process protections in government. You know, I don't want to do a history lesson here, Tom, but in 1883, when we established established the civil service system, it was employment, being hired based on merit. There were no provisions for protecting folks from being fired. So
every job was patronage before that.
That's correct. It was patronage. Then it was higher based on merit, but you could still be fired for any reason. That started changing in the 20s, and then there were appeal rights given in the 40s. You could appeal to the Civil Service Commission. In 1978, we established the Merit Systems Protection Board as the appellate body. So there's been a long evolution, and there's nothing that says that we've arrived at exactly the right balance now. And in fact, you know, it's changing for VA because which simply seemed as untenable. So I think rather than abolishing due process, I think this may be a time for a dispassionate reassessment and consideration given to improving due process.
How can we
make it work faster, but still keep it fair?
John Palguda is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. And I guess so the question arises, is forced retirement or strongly encouraging someone into retirement, perhaps before they wish to retire, it sounds mild maybe when you're reading the newspapers, but to someone actually working, it's pretty tough. I mean, there was the case of Susan Taylor, the Veterans Affairs Executive in procurement, and an IG report was quite comprehensive in outlining what the IG believed to be wrongdoing on her part. She actually had a job offer rescinded for a higher position at another agency suddenly retired. And so people say, why should she retire on $100,000? I mean, you could say this may be the Lois Lerner case at the IRS and so forth. But if you look at it and take away whatever you bring to it, the question is, you know, they earned that pension before the wrongdoing. And so maybe it would not be fair to take away the pension and the benefits retroactively, since they did earn them presumably through some years of proper service.
That is correct, Tom. And in fact, you know, what's being discussed is, well, should it be reduced if there was a period of time when they went off track and they were doing improper things? Should those years not count and should the annuity be reduced. But I think, you know, you could go that route, or you could also say, well, look, if they actually did something egregiously wrong, maybe there should be some criminal penalties. Fines or restitution to be paid. There's different ways to hold people accountable. And I think this is probably a good time to start thinking about, is there a way to modify due process protections, to refine them, to hold people accountable, to meet the public need, but also to be fair to employees and make sure we don't discourage people from taking initiative, doing reasonable risk-taking to get the mission of government done. It's a balancing act here, and I'm not sure we're at the right balance point just yet.
So maybe it's time to lower the temperature and do a little thinking.
Yes, and some honest dialogue here. And again, I don't think it should be a binary decision, keep exactly what we have or give it all up. I think there's a middle ground here where we refine, we look at other ways to hold people accountable, to prevent folks from, to prevent it from taking a year and a half of administrative leave before we can act. It has bad optics, and I think we can do better. But we've got to be careful that we don't do more damage than good.
And we don't want to take senior executives who might have worked a long time in government or come in at a service later in their career at a civil service level, which senior executive service is, and treat them the same as political appointees.
That is correct. And I'm a former career member of the senior executive service. And, you know, I understand the pressures, and I know the vast majority of those senior executives are hardworking people who sacrifice a lot to get the job of government done and to serve the American public. So we want to do right by them. It's a very small percentage of the population that ends up needing to be dealt with. So we got to make sure that we continue to be fair to that large percentage of folks who are doing a great job, and then we find a reasonable way to deal with those who aren't.
John Palguda is Vice President for Policy at the Partnership for Public Service. Oh, as always, great talking with you.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.